This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Friday, April 15th, 2022, Good Friday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Good Friday at noon, Christ was nailed to the cross on the hill at Calvary, just outside Jerusalem, and he died on that cross at about 3 p.m. If we had been there, then Jesus, the God-man, would just be dead several minutes, no time at all. There was mourning, but we are not there. We are here. Every single Friday in the life of the church, it should be this way anyway. Every single Friday should be a very special day for us because of the events at Calvary. Historically, the custom of churches ringing their bells at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon indicated the hour that Christ died. The church, because on this day Christ crucified his flesh for our sins, has forbidden the eating of flesh meat on Fridays. This is the reason for that. Every Friday should be like that. It is that tremendous a thing that our Lord did for us. But the Friday in Holy Week should draw our attention tremendously toward what he did. The church on Good Friday is in mourning. The altars of our churches should be stripped bare. The candles that indicate, particularly the sanctuary candle that indicate the presence of our Lord, is extinguished. The bells are silent in the church. The sacred ministers wear black as a sign of mourning, and they lie prostrate before the altar of Christ for what he did. This is why we do the things that we do during Holy Week, and particularly on Good Friday. The Good Friday liturgy is a most unique liturgy. We're talking to the sacristy for a couple of it. This is one of the favorites, if not the favorite liturgy of the year because of what happened, what it honors, but it is so markedly different than the other liturgies. There are some things that are common with other liturgies, other masses. There is the liturgy of the word. We pray. In this particular liturgy, we take it to another level where we do what are referred to as the solemn prayers that will take place after the homily. The solemn prayers are prayers for all conditions of men, all conditions, from the Pope to heathens to the dead, because on this day, Christ died for all men. The offer of the gospel is for everyone. After the liturgy of the word, we have the adoration of the Holy Cross, where the cross, the crucifix, is unveiled and adored by the faithful. Then after that, we have the communion. This is not a mass, properly so called. This is not a mass. This is a service of worship. The communion that we receive is referred to as the pre-sanctified, because it was sanctified last evening. For use today, we present the Mass in some of its ceremonies. Again, it is indicative of the absence of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing that's unique of those two, because in other Masses we have a liturgy of the word, we have communion in other Masses, but there is something that is very unique about the Mass, or the Mass of the pre-sanctified, so-called. It is the adoration with the Holy Cross, very unique to Good Friday. I mean, you can venerate the cross any time of year, but on this day, it is manifest as a requirement, this adoration of the cross, unique to the day. Why is that? In a nutshell, Everybody knows a cross. It's cross is so important. We see them so many places. We wear them. We have them in our pockets. We have them hanging in our cars. They're at the end of our rosaries. You're a Catholic. You can't look anywhere more than a couple of minutes not see a cross. We have to understand that the cross and its adoration on this particular day, because the cross, it represents of all holy things, because we're Catholics, we represent a whole lot of holy things. The cross above all holy representations, we venerate the cross most of all, out of all of them. Churches must have a crucifix. Altars must have a crucifix. Cemeteries, Catholic cemeteries, there is a crucifix. It is that important. The church does not allow sacraments to be administered without the presence of a crucifix somewhere. Mass cannot be celebrated if there is not a crucifix on that altar. Divine worship cannot be performed without a crucifix. Crosses are really interesting. They're even within civil society. You know, you look at, you know, the church, well, of course we wear them. You know, the cross, every bishop wears one on his chest. They have their pectoral crosses. But historically, the crowns on Christian monarchs all bore a crucifix. Flags of, at least historically, Christian nations, a lot of them bear crosses. You know, we see them in our day and age. The cross, with an X on it, that's a St. Andrew's cross. Okay, the cross is pervasive. The cross is in militaria. There are military awards. They're the Iron Cross. Well, what's that got to do with it? It's a cross. There's a reason. The foundation is the cross of Christ. It has been militarized, of course. I actually saw a picture. What is an image of St. Patrick? The image of St. Patrick, it almost looks like somebody made it up, because the cross he's wearing looks exactly like a military Iron Cross. It's black, it's big, it's metal. This is St. Patrick. This is how the cross has been pervasive in even civil society. You know, for us, the cross, you look at, you know, I said before, we can't look around without seeing, hopefully, the cross is placed in the hands of our dying loved ones. If their death is attended, they have a crucifix that is placed in their hand. The crucifix is placed in their hand until they breathe their last, and then that crucifix accompanies them to their grave. That is how integral the cross is to the life of the Catholic. We got to be really careful. You walk into somebody's house that doesn't have a cross, or I quote a commentator, "It does not speak well for the inhabitants of a house if none but secular pictures adorn its walls." Even our houses, the decoration of our houses, are indicative of what we believe. You know, the cross is an important thing. During the veneration of the cross today, and I pray God henceforth, when you look at a cross, I tell a lot of people, I'm distracted in Mass. I say, look at the cross. And I get sort of the holy eye roll. Look at the cross, because if you look at the cross, you can think of so many, many things. Not just, well, that's a pretty one. They're not supposed to be pretty. They're supposed to elicit something very grave in our minds. St. Augustine says this, and I will leave you with his words. The cross is no longer the instrument of Christ's suffering, but the pulpit of Christ's preaching. From it, he teaches the lessons of love of our enemies, gentleness, patience, obedience, God's mercy, his justice, his goodness, and his power. Also the immortality of our souls, the last judgment, and the resurrection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.